Well, good day, saints, and we welcome you to another midweek Bible study brought to you from Calvary Church of Needles. If you're somewhere where you can have your Bible in front of you or your iPhone safely in front of you, I would encourage you at this point to ask you to turn with me to our main passages for this proclamation of the gospel today. There are two main passages. Let me give them to you to begin with, and then I'll read them for you. Our first pillar text, as we call it, is in the book of Colossians in the New Testament, Colossians chapter 4, verse 17. Colossians 4, verse 17. And our other pillar passage for this study should be familiar if you're able to listen to the Lord's Day message this past Sunday. It's in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 through 15. It's the passage we looked at in the Bible study on the Lord's Day. What I'm going to do is I'm going to focus in on just one verse of that passage, the final verse. As I read it to you in just a moment, I'll point out that verse. But let me begin by reading Colossians 4, verse 17. This is our first pillar text, and we'll come to this particular verse near the end of the study, or about three quarters of the way through the study. So Colossians chapter 4, verse 17, the next to last verse in the Apostle Paul's letter to the church at Colossae. These are part of the greetings, the final greetings that the Apostle Paul gives to this church at Colossae. And he says in Colossians 4, verse 17, listen to God's eternal word, saints. He directs the church, he says, and say to Archippus, we don't know who this is, but he apparently was somebody who was called to minister in that church at Colossae. Apostle Paul says, Colossians 4, 17, say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. Okay, it's a great verse. And I'll explain it to you in the course of this study. Now, saints, turn towards the end of the Bible, a couple books in the New Testament, to 1 Timothy. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2, and I'll read verses 9 through 15. Although we're going to focus in on just one verse, and it's the final verse of this passage, verse 15. But let me begin in verse 9. 1 Timothy 2, beginning in verse 9. I know it's in the middle of the sentence. I'm doing the same thing I did for the Lord's Day service on Sunday. Beginning in verse 9, likewise also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel, with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire. Verse 10, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness with good works. Verse 11, let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. Verse 12, I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. Verse 13. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. Now verse 15. This is the verse we concluded with in the study on Sunday. And this is considered the most difficult verse in this controversial passage. And I didn't get a chance to fully explain it. Ran out of time in that Lord's Day message, so I'm coming back in this message today. Verse 15, yet she will be saved through childbearing if they, meaning women in Christ, continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control. Okay? Now, saints, I've entitled this midweek study, you probably saw it if you're on the web page, you definitely saw it, you probably clicked on it. Did you notice the title? It's titled 1 Timothy 2:15 Revisited. So we're going to spend most of our time going phrase by phrase and even word by word through this verse, 1 Timothy 2:15. I explained it generally in a general way at the end of the message on Sunday. Now I'm going to explain it in more detail and connect it to other truths we've learned in redemptive history. Okay? So this is titled 1 Timothy 2:15 Revisited, saints. And we'll begin the study after we pray. Let's cry out to God for His illumination. Father, whenever we come to Your Word, and especially when we come to these difficult, challenging, controversial verses and passages, we need Your illumination. We always need it, but we especially need it in regard to these difficult truths in Your eternal Word. Well, we know this is Your eternal Word, and we know all the truths in Your Bible fit together. So, Father, illumine our hearts and our minds by the Holy Spirit through Your dear Son, Jesus, right now to be able to understand this verse, 1 Timothy 2:15, to perhaps understand in a way we've never understood it before. And Father, please connect it to other truths that we know that just like You've been doing in this series on redemptive history. We thank You for the illumination You're giving us, this heavenly light that as we receive it from You, Father, through Your Son, Jesus, it's transformed into life, and we're transformed slowly and by degrees into the glorious image of Your Son. Thank You for it. Work a little more of that process of sanctification in us as we study Your Word for this next hour or so, and we'll give You praise for it. We love You and praise You and honor You. Triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, saints, now I hope that you're following along in all the Lord's Day and midweek Bible studies. Because as I think you figured out by this time, saints, these studies, especially the way that God has led me to present them in this series on redemptive history, these recent Bible studies are cumulative. They're cumulative. They all fit together, and there is a logical progression to them, to these studies. I think you've noticed that. So, saints, we are considering deeper and deeper biblical truths in these studies on redemptive history, and we're doing this by building upon previous foundational biblical truths that we've already covered in prior studies. So these studies are cumulative. So, saints, I hope you've been able to follow along in this important series. And if for some reason you've fallen behind, you can catch up. You can catch up on our church's website, which you're probably on right now, listening to this message. Saints, all the Lord's Day messages and all the midweek Bible studies for the past year and a half are preserved in MP3 format here on our website. And if you're among those who still listen to the messages on CD, like I know some of the saints in our church are, or if you want to listen to some of the messages in this series prior to January 2022, just call the church office and leave a message, and Debbie or I will get you a CD copy of the message or messages that you missed in this series. Because we've kept the CD masters of all the Lord's Day messages and all the midweek Bible studies of this entire series on redemptive history. Now, here's why I'm bringing this subject up at the beginning of this particular message, saints. It's because in this Bible study today, in this midweek Bible study today, I'm going to pick up where I left off in the Lord's Day message this past Sunday. So, saints, if you didn't get to listen to the message on Sunday, which was titled Our New Covenant Roles, that was the title of the Lord's Day message on Sunday, Our New Covenant Roles. If you didn't get to listen to that message, saints, I recommend that you click on that message right now and listen to it first. Just go back to the home page and up at the top, click on sermons instead of Bible studies and listen to that message on this past from this past Sunday first before you listen to this message, because again, this message is the sequel, if you want to call it that, to the message I presented this past Sunday. In any case, with that explanation and suggestion out of the way, at this point, saints, please look at the verse that I just read for you and that I concluded the Lord's Day message with. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. This is the verse that I ended the Lord's Day message with this past Sunday. And it's the verse I'm going to begin this message, this midweek Bible study with. And I'll start by reading this verse for you again. But I'm going to read it, saints, phrase by phrase. And I'm going to pause between each phrase to explain what the Apostle Paul is saying in each of the phrases of this difficult, challenging verse, okay? So by the end of this, you're going to understand this verse, saints, okay? So are you there? If you can have a Bible, your personal Bible or your iPhone in front of you. So 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. I'm reading from the English Standard Version, as is our custom. Here we go, saints. The Apostle Paul says, yet she, first phrase in the ESV and 1 Timothy chapter 2, 15, yet she. Stop right there, saints. That's our first phrase. Yet she. Now remember, saints, when the apostle says she here, he is referring to women in Christ in this new covenant era. Specifically, the apostle is referring in this particular passage to the new covenant roles, to the new covenant roles that God has called women in Christ to in this present new covenant era of redemptive history. And saints, I'm emphasizing that these new covenant roles, and that these are new covenant roles because, as I sought to show you in the Lord's Day message, these present gender and ministry new covenant roles of women in Christ are not going to carry over into the coming age. That was one of the points I made in the message on Sunday. The present new covenant roles that women in Christ are fulfilling are not going to carry over into the eternal state, into the new heavens and new earth. Now, men and women are apparently, by what the Bible indicates, men and women are apparently going to retain their gender in the age to come. So maleness and femaleness is apparently going to carry over into the eternal state by what the Bible indicates. But, saints, the present new covenant roles of men and women will not carry over into the eternal state. And this is a redemptive historical truth that's often not appreciated by believers. And that's why I brought it up in the message on Sunday. Okay, back to the verse now, saints. The first phrase says, yet she, and again, that's referring to all women in Christ in this present new covenant era. Yet she, next phrase now, will be saved. Stop right there, saints. When the Apostle Paul says saved here, he means eternal salvation. He means being saved by Christ from sin and death and eternal condemnation. He means eternal salvation. This is the Greek word sozo that's translated saved here. And this is the usual, typical Greek word used in the New Testament for eternal salvation. That's what it means here. So saved here in this phrase means eternally saved by Christ's redemptive work. Next line now. Yet she, the women in Christ in this new covenant era, will be saved, eternally saved. Next phrase. Through childbearing. Saints, this is one of the lines in this verse that stumbles many, many Christians and many, many commentators as well. Let me sort it out for you, saints. That's what I'm here for. Let me explain what the apostle means here when he says, yet she, meaning women in Christ in this new covenant era, will be saved, eternally saved, through childbearing. What in heaven's name does the Apostle Paul mean by this first half of verse 15? Please listen. I'll sort it out for you. Now, saints, we know that a person is not saved by their own works. True salvation, as all of us know, is by faith. By faith in Christ's perfect work, not by the righteousness of our own works. We all know this in this church, and we're right. Salvation is by faith in Christ's perfect work. Salvation is not by our own works. So the Apostle Paul is not saying here, he's not saying that the way for women to be eternally saved is for them to bear children. Okay, we know he's not saying this. He couldn't be saying this, and he's not saying this. So what is the Apostle Paul saying here? He's saying something very, very important, saints, so please listen. The Apostle Paul here is proclaiming the truth that women who are authentically saved will authentically save women in this era of redemptive history, saints, they will fulfill the new covenant roles that God appoints them to in this present era. As men in Christ will, saints, as well. Both, not just women in Christ, but men and women in Christ, all authentically saved people will fulfill the new covenant roles that God appoints them to in this present age. That's what he's saying, and that's a profound, profound point. Saints, the fulfillment of our new covenant roles is one aspect of the fruit of authentic salvation in this new covenant era. Let me say that again. This could be considered the thesis statement, the main point that I'm making in this message. Because this is what the Apostle Paul is saying in this verse, in 1 Timothy 2, verse 15. The fulfillment of our new covenant roles is one aspect of the fruit of authentic salvation in this new covenant era. So both women in Christ and men in Christ will fulfill the new covenant roles, both their gender roles and their ministry roles that God appoints them to in this present age. Saints, listen, we aren't saved by fulfilling these roles. In fact, this is how specific Scripture is. Look at the preposition the Apostle Paul uses in this verse. He says, yet she will be saved through childbearing. Not by childbearing, but through childbearing. So we're not saved by fulfilling our new covenant role, saints. Rather, we're saved through fulfilling our new covenant roles. Let me explain that. As we fulfill these gender and ministry roles that God has ordained for us in this new covenant era, saints, we are being sanctified. We're being saved through these new covenant roles that God appoints for us. Now, saints, what also throws commentators off in this line is the specific reference to childbearing. Now, I explained this to you in the message on Sunday, but just in case you've forgotten, let me remind you again. You remember? The Apostle Paul is using childbearing here in the first half of verse 15, 15a. The Apostle Paul is using childbearing as a synecdoche. Do you remember what a synecdoche is, saints? A synecdoche is a figure of speech in which a part of the whole is used to describe the entirety of the whole. For instance, let me give you an example. When we use the word wheels to describe a car, we are using a synecdoche. We're using a part of the car to refer to the whole car. So we might say to someone, "That's a nice set of wheels you got there." And we mean, when we say that, we mean, "That's a nice car you have there." We're not just making a comment about the wheels of their car, but we're making a comment about the entirety of their car. That's a synecdoche. Well, the Apostle Paul is using childbearing in this verse as a synecdoche. He's using childbearing to refer to all the new covenant roles that God has ordained for women in Christ to fulfill in this present redemptive historical era. So, when the Apostle Paul says this, he's not saying that all women have to bear children as one of their God-appointed gender roles. He's not saying that. For instance, there are women in Christ who remain unmarried in this present era by God's design. And there are women in Christ who are unable to bear children. They're married, but they're unable to bear children by God's design. So for these women in Christ, childbearing is not one of their God-appointed gender roles in this new covenant era. By God's design, it's not. But these women in Christ do have other God-appointed new covenant roles to fulfill, some of which I'll remind you of in a moment, women, okay? In fact, saints, now, to make this more clear, what I've said up to this point more clear for you, let me give you an example. One example from our own church. Now, saints, I have lots of godly women that I could choose from in our church as an example, including my godly wife, Sandy. But I'm going to use Miss Mary, Mary Robinson, Miss Mary, as an example to explain to you how both women and men, how both women and men are saved in this present era of redemptive history through, not by, but through fulfilling the new covenant roles that God has appointed us to. Okay? So I'm going to use Miss Mary as an example. So saints, Miss Mary is a woman in Christ. She's saved. She's authentically saved. She's saved eternally. Miss Mary is a woman in Christ in this new covenant era of redemptive history. And being a woman in Christ in this new covenant era, Miss Mary is presently called by God to fulfill her new covenant roles, both her gender roles and her ministry roles that God has appointed her to. In fact, saints, this is how Miss Mary abides in Christ, through fulfilling her new covenant roles in this present age. This is what the Apostle Paul is saying in this verse. So let's talk about Miss Mary's gender roles first, her roles as a woman in Christ, her gender roles in this present age. In this present age, Miss Mary is appointed by God, saints, to bear children. She's one of the women in Christ that was appointed by God to bear children. And she fulfilled that role. She has a son and a daughter who she bore and helped rear, okay? But I have to add right now, don't forget, saints, like I said a moment ago, not every woman in Christ in this present age is ordained by God to bear children. But Miss Mary was. She was, and she did. She fulfilled that gender role of bearing children. But Miss Mary is also ordained by God in this present age to another gender role, saints. She is appointed by God to submit to her husband, Bob. This is another one of the gender roles that God ordains women in Christ for in this present age, submitting to their husbands. This passage here in 1 Timothy chapter 2 is referring to this particular gender role. In addition, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, and Colossians chapter 3, verse 18, these two verses also specifically call women in Christ in this present age to submit to their husbands. And saints, Miss Mary does this. We can all see that she does this, can't we? Miss Mary submits to her husband Bob as God calls her to. She doesn't always agree with Bob. In fact, you only submit to a person when you disagree with him. Right? We've talked about that before. Real submission to authority only occurs when we disagree with the authority we are submitted to. Right? Else we're just agreeing with him. That's not submission to authority. Real submission to authority, saints, only occurs when we disagree with the authority we're submitted to. Well, Miss Mary does that. I mean, it's pretty clear to all of us, isn't it? And saints, here's another new covenant role that God has appointed Miss Mary to as a woman in Christ in this present era. Miss Mary is also appointed by God to submit to the local church leaders. In the local church, God has called her to, which is this church. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Hebrews 13, 17. Calls both women and men. Hebrews 13, 17. Calls all new covenant believers to submit to the leaders in the local church that God calls them to. And I can tell you, saints, that Miss Mary is also fulfilling this new covenant role. I can tell you that, as the pastor of the church, she is submitting to the leaders of this church. I'm going to say it again. Real submission to authority only occurs when we disagree with the authority we are submitted to, not when we agree. And I can tell you, saints, Miss Mary does this. She does this. And saints, Miss Mary is also appointed by God as one of her new covenant roles to submit to the political leaders that God has sovereignly set over her in the city and the state and the nation that she lives in. Romans chapter 13, verse 1, Romans 13, 1, and 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13a, 1 Peter 2, 13a, calls all new covenant saints, not just women, but men and women, all new covenant saints, to do this, to submit to the political leaders that God has sovereignly set over us. And again, saints, I think all of us can see that Miss Mary does this as well. She's fulfilling this new covenant role. Now, all of us here in America could do this better, saints. And one thing that would help, I think, is if we stopped watching so much cable news. But I probably don't have to make this point again, since I've made it so often lately. Right, saints? Okay. Now remember, saints, what I pointed out to you in the study on Sunday. Women in Christ in this present age have just one more person to submit themselves to than the men in Christ in this present age do. And this is the case only if the woman in Christ is married. This is so, saints, because men in Christ are also called by God in this present age to submit themselves to the leaders appointed by God in their church. Again, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, among other verses in the New Testament, clearly says this, Hebrews 13, 17. And men in Christ are also called to submit themselves to the political leaders that God has sovereignly set over us in the city and the state and the nation that we live in. Again, Romans 13, 1 and 1 Peter 2, 13a clearly says this. So again, women in Christ in this present age, and only if they're married, have just one more person to submit themselves to than the men in Christ in this present age do. Okay, now continuing with our example of Miss Mary. Miss Mary, saints, also has a ministry role within the local church that God has appointed her to in this present age. God has called and appointed and gifted Miss Mary to minister to children in the local church, in our church. And Miss Mary is uniquely gifted by God, saints, for this children's ministry, as we can all clearly see. We can all clearly see this. So this is also part of the new covenant role that God has ordained for Miss Mary. Through the years, I've seen Miss Mary when she had 30 kids, 20 kids, one kid, two kids, prepare and teach them, led by God's Spirit. She's fulfilling the new covenant role of ministry that God has ordained and gifted her for in the local church. And saints, please listen. Using the Apostle Paul's phrase here in 1 Timothy 2:15, Miss Mary is being saved through, not by, but through fulfilling the present new covenant gender and ministry roles that God has ordained for her. In fact, saints, listen. This is the way that Miss Mary is abiding in Christ in this present age, through fulfilling her new covenant roles, both her gender roles and her God-appointed ministry roles. Often we wonder what Jesus means when he calls us to abide in him, like in John 15. This is it, saints. We abide in Christ in this present age through fulfilling our new covenant roles, both our gender roles and our God-appointed ministry roles. So in verse 15a here, the Apostle Paul is saying that the way to abide in Christ is through fulfilling the roles that God has ordained for us in this present age. And then in the second half of the verse, in verse 15b, here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, in the second half of the verse, the Apostle Paul is saying that the result of abiding in Christ through fulfilling the roles that God has ordained for us in this present age, the result of abiding in Christ through fulfilling our new covenant roles, is the fruit of the Spirit, which is authentic character transformation in our lives, which is, saints, sanctification. So we're being saved through, sanctified through fulfilling these roles. That's what the Apostle Paul's saying in this awesome verse here, saints. Do you follow that? Well, look at the second half of the verse. I read the first half of the verse, phrase by phrase. Look at the second half. Look at verse 15b here in 1 Timothy 2. I'll read it for you. The apostle says, if they continue, meaning women, if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control. Now the if is referring back to the eternal salvation, which the apostle mentions in the first half of the verse. He says, yet she, meaning women in Christ in this present age, will be saved, there's the salvation, through childbearing, if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control. Now, this conditional if, saints, also often throws commentators off, okay? If is a conditional phrase, right? And this throws commentators off. So let me explain what the Apostle Paul means in this second half of the verse. Here's what he's saying, saints. He's saying that if we continue to abide in Christ, we are authentically saved. Because both the fulfillment of our new covenant roles and the fruit of the Spirit are inevitable results of authentic salvation. Let me say that again. Apostle Paul is saying here that if we continue to abide in Christ, we are authentically saved. Because both the fulfillment of our new covenant roles and the fruit of the Spirit are inevitable results of authentic salvation. In other words, if we're authentically saved, we will continue to abide in Christ by fulfilling our new covenant roles. Authentically saved individuals in this new covenant era, saints, will both fulfill their God-appointed new covenant roles, verse 15a, and they will bear the fruit of the Spirit in their lives, verse 15b. We're not saying by doing and being these things, they're saved, saints. Rather, like the Apostle Paul says in this verse, we're saying that they're saved, that all authentically saved people are saved through doing and being these things. Do you follow that? And Miss Mary is one of the excellent examples in our local church of how this works. And saints, when you understand how authentic salvation works, many passages in the New Testament open up in a new way for you. Let me give you a few examples. For instance, listen to what the Apostle Paul, in his instructions to his young protege Timothy, listen to what the Apostle Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy, not here in 1 Timothy, but in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. The Apostle Paul says to Timothy, "As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist." Then he says, "Fulfill your ministry." There it is. Fulfill your ministry, Timothy, the Apostle Paul says, because this is one aspect of the God-appointed new covenant role that God has ordained for you. Fulfill your ministry, Timothy, because you are saved through fulfilling your present God-appointed new covenant roles. Here's another example, our first pillar text, our first pillar verse is another example. Remember that was Colossians 4, verse 17. Colossians chapter 4, verse 17, our first pillar verse for this study. In this verse, saints, the Apostle Paul directs the believers in the church at Colossae to say to a man named Archippus, who apparently had a ministry role in the church at Colossae, the apostle directs the church to tell Archippus this. This is Colossians 4, verse 17. To say to Archippus, "See that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord." That's a great verse, Colossians 4, 17. I'm going to say that to you, to everyone that's listening here, to this message. I'm going to say the same thing to you, saints. Fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. Fulfill your new covenant roles, saints, both the gender roles and the ministry roles that God has appointed for you in this present age. Because you're saved in this way. You abide in Christ. You're saved through this, through fulfilling these roles. This is how you abide in Christ. See, saints, our verse, 1 Timothy, now back to our verse, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, is telling us that to abide in Christ, we must fulfill the new covenant roles that God has ordained for us. And these new covenant roles include both our gender roles and the ministry roles that God calls us to. This is how we abide in Christ, through fulfilling these new covenant roles, saints. Now, you've probably never thought of abiding in Christ in this way, have you? But this is the way the inspired New Testament talks about abiding in Christ. Now, saints, I use Miss Mary as an example, but think of how many faithful believers we have in our local church. How many faithful believers we have abiding in Christ through fulfilling their God-appointed new covenant roles. We have a lot. In fact, in my first draft of this message, I tried to list the names of many of the faithful believers in our church who are fulfilling their gender and ministry roles. My list got too long, and I was also worried that I was going to leave someone off the list that belongs on the list, okay? So I'll let you do that, saints. Just think about all the faithful believers in our church who are abiding in Christ through fulfilling their new covenant roles. Saints, those who are authentically in Christ, those who are authentically saved, will fulfill the new covenant roles that God appoints them to. Authentic believers will fulfill both the gender roles and the ministry roles that God has appointed them to. Now, I'm going to put this in a different way, in a theological way. Please listen. We've talked about this before. Saints, underlying the perseverance of the saints is God's preservation of the saints. You follow that? Underlying the perseverance of the saints, that's the P on TULIP, isn't it? On the five doctrines of grace. Perseverance of the saints. Perseverance of the saints is a biblical truth that teaches that everyone who's authentically saved is saved eternally, will persevere in the faith. They will endure in the faith. They won't fall away from the faith. And that is true, saints. Perseverance of the saints is a biblical truth because God preserves his saints. Those whom he foreloved, he predestined, he elected. Those whom he elected, he justified. Those whom he justifies, he calls first with the effectual call. Then he justifies. This is the golden chain of salvation in Romans 8, 29 and 30. Those whom he foreloved, he predestined, he elected. Those whom he elected, he called with the effectual call. Those whom he called, he justified. And those whom he justified, he glorified. Past tense. The Apostle Paul puts that in Romans 8, 30. Because it's a done deal. Because perseverance of the saints is a biblical truth, and underlying it is God preserving the saints. So all authentically saved believers will persevere in the faith. We will continue to abide in Christ, saints, through fulfilling our new covenant roles because God is preserving us in the faith. Isn't that wonderful? Now, saints, don't forget the point that I was making in the study on Sunday about these new covenant roles that God is presently calling us to, and that those who are authentically in Christ will fulfill in this present age. These new covenant roles by which we now in this present era abide in Christ, these new covenant roles, saints, will not, like I said a little bit ago, they will not carry over into the eternal state. They will not carry over into the new heavens and new earth. Saints, just like there were old covenant roles that God called his old covenant saints to fulfill, and that they stayed faithful to God through fulfilling, and that they did fulfill as old covenant saints, these old covenant roles, saints, didn't carry over into the new covenant era of redemptive history, did they? For instance, there are no old covenant prophets or priests now, as there were in old covenant times. There are no old covenant prophets or priests in this new covenant era. These old covenant roles of prophet and priest have been perfectly fulfilled, okay? These roles have been perfectly fulfilled in this new covenant era by Christ, our perfect prophet, priest, and king. So there's no need for old covenant prophets and priests like Moses and Aaron in this new covenant age, okay? So these old covenant roles didn't carry over into this new covenant era. In the same way, saints, these new covenant roles that we are presently called to fulfill and that all authentically saved new covenant saints will fulfill, these new covenant gender and ministry roles through which we now abide in Christ, these new covenant roles are not going to carry over into the age to come, into the eternal state, into the new heavens, new earth. So saints, I'm not going to be Pastor Craig in the new heavens and new earth, like I said in the message on Sunday. I'm not going to be Pastor Craig. I'm not going to be a pastor. And Miss Mary is not going to be a children's church teacher in the eternal saints, in the eternal state. And Tori and Sean are not going to be youth leaders in the eternal state. My wife Sandy is not going to be a teacher and a song leader, you know, a music director in the eternal state. Nor are women going to be called to submit to their husbands in the new heavens and new earth. In fact, Jesus himself says in Luke chapter 20, verses 34 and 35, Luke 20, 34 and 35, Jesus himself says, quote, "The sons of this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy to attain that age, the age to come, and to the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage." I quoted that on Sunday, didn't I? Again, that's Luke 20, verses 34 and 35. In the age to come, saints, men and women are not going to be called to submit to their church leaders or to the political leaders that God has sovereignly appointed over them. In the age to come, in the new heavens, new earth, there will be no need for the new covenant roles of gender and ministry. But saints, there are now. There is now a need. And there's a need because this is what God's appointed his new covenant saints to in this present age, according to God's perfect design for redemptive history. In fact, saints, again, in this present age, we are saved through fulfilling these new covenant roles that God has ordained for his people. This is how we now abide in Christ, by fulfilling these gender and ministry roles that God has appointed for us in this present age. Saints, in summary, this is an amazing verse, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. In an amazing passage, but I could say that about every verse in the Bible and every passage of the Bible. But I can only say that, I can only say this about this passage and this verse, 1 Timothy 2:15, because God has illumined it. He sent down his light so that we can understand it and begin to connect it to the other truths in redemptive history. This amazing verse here in 1 Timothy 2:15, saints, tells us that this is the way that we presently abide in Christ and produce the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, through fulfilling the new covenant roles, both the gender roles and the ministry roles, that God is presently calling us to in this present age. That's how you abide in Christ. And you will abide in Christ, and you will by fulfilling these roles if you're authentically saved. Like I said in the message on Sunday, saints, this verse, 1 Timothy 2:15, is considered by commentators to be the most difficult verse in one of the most controversial passages in the entire New Testament. And God has given us light to understand it, hasn't he? This passage addresses the issue of the role of women within the ministry of the local church in this present age of redemptive history. A very controversial passage, but now we understand it better, not fully. So at the end, in a moment, I'm going to pray for more light for us, okay? We see through a glass darkly. We're the mole people. But God is sending us, he's sending us light, isn't he? Sending us some more light. And we're so thankful for that. Saints, God is calling his people in this present age of redemptive history to new covenant roles that will not carry over into the new heavens, new earth. But new covenant believers are now called to fulfill these new covenant roles. In fact, this is how in this new covenant era we presently abide in Christ and bear the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, by fulfilling these new covenant roles, both the gender roles and the ministry roles that God has appointed for us in this present age. This is fruit and evidence that we're authentically saved, that we fulfill these roles. So saints, in conclusion, I'll quote Colossians 4, verse 17. Our first pillar text, our first, which I just quoted for you a moment ago. In conclusion, saints, this is Colossians 4, verse 17. see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. That was originally the Apostle Paul called the church at Colossae to minister this truth to that man, whoever he was, named Archippus. I'm saying it to you now, saints. See that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. Will you join me in prayer, saints? Father, we thank you again for giving us light to understand this passage. This is another one of the passages, and especially this verse, that many teachers just skip over, okay? They don't even want to tackle. And yet, when it's presented with some of your light, Father God, it suddenly makes sense, and we suddenly want to do what it's calling us to do, most amazing of all, because the light that we receive turns into life and gives us both the desire and the power to do what you're calling us to do here. We're saved, so we have the power of the Holy Spirit within us. And we will, every authentic, new covenant, saved believer will fulfill the new covenant roles that you're calling them to, saints. Lord, every saint will. We're so thankful that we understand that, okay? Help us to do it now. By your power, for your glory, and for our good. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.